Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, Lord, we want to thank you for this morning. Lord, we pray for many people who are sick. But we are not distressed because you are in control. We know, Lord, that you are a prayer answering God. Even this morning, as we turn our eyes to your word, I pray that you bless us, Father, Lord. I pray that you speak to each and every one of us. Lord, you have been giving me the thought of transformation. You want us to be transformed. And you have spoken to me. And Lord, as I deliver your message to your people, I pray that let them, Father, hear your word. I pray that let them obey your word. Help them to do what you want them to do, Father. I pray, Lord, for the offering this morning. I pray that you bless this offering. I pray that you bless the hands that has opened and given to the work of God. I pray that you do not allow them in any way, Lord, to lack anything in their lives. Continue to bless them, Father. We give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. As you remain standing, I want us to, as you all know, we have been going through a series called Transformed. You know, God wants us to be transformed based on Romans chapter 12 verse 2 that says that you should be transformed with the renewing of your mind. And over the last days, I have been speaking of how we can be transformed in our worship. How can we be transformed in our prayer? How can we be transformed in our possession? That was the last thing that God has been speaking to us. Today, we are going to speak about how we can be transformed in our plans. We all make plans in our life. We all have great plans for the future. But God wants us to be transformed in our plans. Can you open your Bible to the Gospel of Luke chapter 12? We are going to read two passages and we are going to look into the God's Word. Don't worry, we are all going back in time, so you don't have to look at your watches. You can just concentrate on what God has to speak to you. Luke chapter 12, from verses 16 to 21. This is an encounter. Again, when Jesus speaks, he speaks in parables. Last week I spoke about a rich young ruler who came to Jesus. But today I want to speak about a rich fool. A man who was rich, but God told him that he's a fool. And I want us to look at this passage. Luke chapter 12 and verse number 16. I will read in my Bible. Please follow with whichever Bible version that you have. In verse number 16, and he spoke a parable to them saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will be those things that you have provided? And then Jesus concludes this with a statement in verse number 21. So is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. This man was rich. This man had everything, material possessions, enough that he did not have a place to store his crops. But look, when God looks at this man, it says that he is not rich towards God. And his fate was terrible. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. We are continuing on how we can be transformed. And today, Matthew chapter 6, we are going to read a few verses in connection with this. I'm going to tie this together and give a good word, and I'm sure that God is going to speak to your hearts. In the Sermon on the Mount, as Jesus speaks to the people, when we come to verse number 25, chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 25, Jesus is continuing his sermon. So he said a lot of things just before he said, you cannot serve two masters, you cannot serve God and you cannot serve money, which means that you have to have a, a single plan whom to serve. You cannot serve two things. You can only serve God. And then he continues saying in verse number 25. I'm going to read from 25 to verse number 34. Please look to your Bible. Everyone, look to your Bible. The words of Jesus. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is your life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil or spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. May God add his blessings to this word. You may sit down. When you see a man in the street selling handkerchiefs and he is sweating profusely, it tells you that possession of something is not the same as ownership. Your life belongs to God. You are only having it, but you do not own your life. So be careful what you do with your life before the owner asks for it. I'm going to give you a real story of a man that many of you may be knowing. And this is a picture of him. His name is Alexander the Great. He was the king of Macedonia from 336 to 323 BC. During his time of leadership, he united Greece, re-established the Corinthian League, and conquered the Persian Empire. He was somebody who had great plans for his future. But you know, sadly, what happened? He died when he was just 32 years old with malaria. Historians tell us that when Alexander the Great was on his deathbed, he called his generals together and told them that he had three ultimate wishes, last wishes. I want you to fulfill. There are three wishes that I want you to do. The first wishes was that the best doctors in my kingdom should carry my coffin. Number two, he told that the wealth that I have accumulated, which includes money, gold, precious stones, you should scatter them on the street. When you are taking my body to the cemetery, scatter them on the street. The third thing he said, you should let my hand let loose outside the coffin that everyone can see. One of his generals was very curious and he did not understand why is King Alexander the Great asking for this unusual request. So he asked him to explain. And this is what Alexander the Great had to say. And this is, historians say, this is what he said. A man who got everything in his life, young person, conquered the world in his time. He conquered and brought Greece to the whole world. And this is what he had to say. Number one, I want the best doctors in my kingdom to carry my coffin to demonstrate that in the face of death, even the best doctors do not have the power to heal. Number two, I want the road to be covered with my treasure so that everybody who sees the wealth on the road know that whatever you acquire on this earth, they're going to stay on this earth. You cannot take them with you where you are going. And the third thing he said, I want my hands out of the coffin so that they can swing with the wind, so people will understand that I have come into this world empty-handed. And I'm leaving this world empty-handed. I cannot carry anything with me what I have acquired on this earth. This revelation was given to the great Job. When you look to Job chapter 1, verse 21, Job had these words to say. This is what Job said. Job chapter 1, verse 21. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me tell you, no matter whatever you earn in this world, you cannot carry even one safety pin to the place that you're going. You're going to leave everything behind you. That's one of the facts of life. So when we understand how we are going in the future, when we understand how we are looking to God in the future, let us understand that the only thing that we have in our life that we can use properly is our time. If there is one resource that you can use the best, is the most precious treasure, is the time. You know why? Because your time is limited. There is a hidden clock that is ticking away your life every moment. The clock is going to a zero point. There is a time that God has ordained for you. There is a time when God will call you. No matter whatever you do, you exercise in the gym, you eat the best food, you do everything, but you cannot hold the time of your death. God has determined a time that we will all going to die, or if Christ comes, we are going to see Him. We can earn more wealth, but you cannot earn more time. The time that is passing away every day in your life, remember, if you're wasting it, you will never be able to get that time back again. They are lost forever. And that is why the word of God says to the young people, remember your Creator in your youth. Remember God when you're young, because the time is coming. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, there is a time coming when days are going to be dark and there is no time to work for God. Today itself we heard so many people lying with a stroke, lying with a heart attack. They cannot work for God anymore because they are lying and their body cannot act anymore. When you get older, your days are gone. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, when we think about this harsh reality that our life is temporary, we are like a grass that comes up in the morning and disappears in the night. How do we plan for the future? What is our whole concept of our life all about? Is it just to have a good time and then go? Because one day God is going to ask, what did you do with what you had? And at that time, you cannot blame the pastor. You cannot blame the church. You cannot blame your family. You can only say, it's my fault of the things that you could not do. Let me take you to the passage that we started in Luke. It's a beautiful story. I want us to be very clear about what Jesus meant here. The first thing that I understand from the story is that this man was rich. Getting rich is not a bad thing. It is not wrong to get rich. How did this man get rich? When I was imagining this guy, I thought this man got rich because he was a hard worker. When you take the right decisions, you use your time, children, you study hard, you get into good positions, God puts you at a leadership, you get earned money, you go rich, that's fine. You see, this man became rich because what happened? He was a farmer. He was a very hard working farmer. So when he sowed, in the Bible it says, what you sow, that you reap. This man sowed with lot of toil and he worked hard and he got a very great harvest. He toiled and he got a good harvest. And that is where we see this man who had riches. His ground yielded plentifully. That's what it says. And then in verse number 17 and 18. Now we see this man starting to plan about his future. Look to 17 and 18. It says he thought in himself. Now this he did not voice out his concept. He was thinking in his heart. It's a thought that came to this rich man. He is thinking. What is he thinking? He thought within himself, what shall I do? I don't have room to store my crops and my goods. I don't have any room to store my crops. And then he makes a plan. He's planning. He says, this I will do. I'm going to break down my current barn. I'm going to build greater. So that when the time of harvest comes, all my harvest will be stored up in a bigger barn. And so that is the good thing. And he said, I'm going to store up all the crops and the good. That is good. There is nothing wrong in planning. I believe that children of God should be very conscious and plan about the rainy day, about the future. Plan your retirement planning, estate planning, your will. All of it you should do in a right time. Don't be don't be lethargic in doing the correct planning. Because if you don't plan, you will fail and you will suffer for that. We need to plan. But the problem comes in verse number 19. This is the problem. I want to bring out to you. The plan that this man made, he says, and then I will say to my soul, what does he say? Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. So take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. When I look at this verse, in verse number 19, I can see three fatal errors in his planning. He made three crucial mistakes in his planning. The first mistake was that this man presumed he's going to live a long life. That was the first mistake. Many times we make decisions and we plan, oh, I will work for God when I'm out of this job, or I will work for God at that future. Not today. Today, let me relax and spend my time happily. Oh, thank you, Lord. You have blessed me so much. Nice house, nice car, a big giant TV. I can relax and I can enjoy my life, you know. That is good, but never assume about tomorrow, because tomorrow is not in our hands. All I know is now, today, this is the only certainty that we have. You are never knowing what is going to happen tomorrow. We can never think, I'm going to live up to this age and I'm going to do this and do that. Today is the only day that we have to do something for God. So the first error was that he thought he is going to live a long life. He said, many years I'm going to stay. The second error that this man made, that he wanted to enjoy everything for himself. You see here what he says? Take your ease, which means, come on man, relax. Take life. Life is good. You have money now. You have your harvest. You have a lot of money. No need. Just chill, man. Chill. Relax. Eat. Drink. Enjoy. Whoa. This is life. You know, floating. It's a life that this man thought. It's all about himself. You see the tragedy here? All that God gave him, he wanted to enjoy himself. Nothing would go out from him to anybody else. The third tragedy was that this man never thought that he's going to die that very night. Because when we come to the next verse in 20, God is addressing this man and saying, you fool! You are rich, but you are a fool. Because you don't see your life in the scope of eternity. Your life is this much, but eternity is this much. Where do you stand today? You don't see in the light of eternity. And that is why God is calling him a fool. A fool. Psalms 14:1 says, a fool says in his heart there is no God. Which means a fool is somebody who has God out of his worldview. God is not anywhere there. Everything in your life revolves is around you. Your life, your pleasure, your wonderful things to enjoy with the money that you have. With the health that you have. With the home that you have. With the resources that you have. God is nowhere figuring out in your worldview. And God says, you fool. What you will do with all these goods? Because you are going to die tonight. Where is all your goods going to go? If you did not make a will, it's going to go to the government. It doesn't say he has a wife or children or anything. We don't know where this man's money is going to go. And so, what we understand is that this man was this was a parable of the fool, a rich fool. He was rich, but he was a fool. I want you to think about your life. If most of the time you're spending on your own, the church gives so many opportunities for you to do the work of God. Instead of actively getting involved with the talents that you have for the kingdom of God's work, and you use your talent and your time and your money for your own pleasures. Remember, God is calling you as a fool. Because God wants you to be engaged in the work of the kingdom. How many of you can say amen with that? God wants you to be engaged in kingdom work with whatever God has given you. We have excuse. Oh, I'm very busy at work. Oh, I don't have time. My family keeps me all the time. Oh, I don't have time. I have to do studies. All these are excuses. But God is wanting us to keep Him first in our lives. So that comes to the next where Jesus gives a recipe of how we can be transformed in our plans. You know, let's turn to Matthew. I want to very quickly take you through a few verses and I'm going to close here. The Lord Jesus gives us a recipe of how we can be transformed in our plans. Through that passage, let me give you a bird's eye view of what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying that you put your right priorities first. You put first things first. When you put first things first, everything else will work out for you. And then Jesus says, don't spend your time being anxiously pursuing after what you will eat or what you will drink or what you will wear, because that is what the world is running after. Accumulating material things, getting more toys, bigger instruments, bigger forms of pleasure. The world is doing that. Jesus says, that's not what you need to do. So today I want to give you three parts in this teaching, and I want you to think about it very carefully. Think about it. Whenever I bring a word, I pray about it and I know that God wants to speak to our hearts. Number one, in this passage, Jesus is rebuking us when we worry. He's not happy. You as a child of God, when you start worrying about your life, Jesus is scolding you. He's worrying. He's rebuking. You see, the word in the Greek for worry is anxious. Anxiety. It says, do not be anxious. You know, many times we are so anxious about our future, about our children, about our job. Imaginary things we think. Some children, when you shut off the light, they think, oh, there is a ghost coming. There is a coming to attack me. It's all imagination. We get anxious about things that not happen. Let me tell you here what we understand in verse number 25 to 27. What Jesus is telling is that do not worry. What you will eat, what you will drink, what you will put on. And he says your life is worth more than food or clothing or whatever. And then, so the first thing is you can plan, but don't worry. Planning is good. Be wise. Another part of the Bible says be wise like serpents, but harmless as doves. We need to be wise in planning, but we should not worry. Number two, it says do not worry about your future. Do not be anxious. This is the word of God. Can you take the word of God to you? For those who are always worried, you open your mouth and speak negative things. Oh, my child is never going to do good. Oh, I'm never going to get that promotion. Oh, I'm going to get an accident. I'm going to go to the road. Oh, somebody's going to hit me. All the time, worrying. Jesus says, do not worry. Do not be anxious. You are in the hand of God. Amen. The world will pass away, but God has a better home for us. If we can trust God with our souls, we can trust God with everything else. The second thing that we can understand is why it is useless to worry.
Verse number 26 and 27.
It is useless to worry. God demonstrates that He is caring for His creatures every day.
Here in verse number 26 and 27,
Jesus says, look at the birds in the air. So gives an example to look. There are birds. He says those birds, they don't plant, they don't harvest, they don't work in the fields. And if you as a person created in the image of God, you are more precious to God than the birds of the sky. If God can take care of the birds who do not plant and who do not harvest, how much more God is going to take care of you? Amen. So that does not diminish. It doesn't mean that you should go home and just lie around and sleep and not do work. Because in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, please note it down. Chapter 3 verse number 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 10 says, if anyone does not work, he should not also eat. So God wants us to work. God wants us to do what we are supposed to do. But what God does not want us to is to get worried. Because the birds also have to go look for food to feed her young. They also do their work. The birds also do the work. But God takes care of the birds. Number two, worry will not solve anything for your life. It says in, look at verse number 27. It says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? In another translation, it says, which of you can add one more year to his life? Both the translations are good. If you worry, nothing will be added because you are worrying about it. You don't have to worry. We cannot try to solve problems by worrying because that does not do good. So the first part I said is Jesus is rebuking us when we worry. Let me come to the next one. Number two is Jesus is not only rebuking but He's also repulsed when we worry. Look to the next few verses from verse 28 to verse number 32. He's repulsed. He's not happy. When His children worry, it means you don't trust your Heavenly Father. When you worry, like for example, my daughter, let me take my family. If Abby is worrying, oh, what can I eat? Is there food to eat? Yeah, how can I go to school? Who is going to pay my school fees? Who is going to take care of me? If she worries, it means she does not trust me as a father to take care of her. Think about it. Many times we keep on worrying. Oh, that's going to happen. The worst is going to happen. The sky is going to fall down upon me. And that's not good. So when we come to, in verse number 28 to 31. Jesus is again saying repeatedly, He is demonstrating that He can take care of us. And here, Jesus speaks about clothing. He gives an example of King Solomon. One of the greatest kings of the world. One of the richest kings of the world. His clothing was maybe of gold apparel. He was wearing gold and he was one of the most richest man. But what Jesus is saying is that even Solomon, who is having the best clothes, the costliest clothes in his time, he cannot compare to what? To the lily in the field. He cannot compare. His clothing cannot compare to the lily of the field. A lily, a small flower. I don't know if you have ever gone into the field outside of your cubicle, looked at the flowers and looked at the trees and looked at the beauty of nature. See how God has created things so beautifully. Take a leaf, see the diameter, the symmetry of a leaf. See a beautiful flower. How beautiful is the creation of God? If God can make a lily that comes by itself, so beautiful, why are you worried about your clothing? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has repeatedly said that He can take care of us. And then He says that this grass and flowers, down below He says, tomorrow, today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven. It means that in the olden times when fuel was scarce, people used to use dry vegetation to fuel their things. And says, this is the grass that is going to go to fire. If God makes them so beautiful, what about humans who have eternal soul? We are more valuable to God
than the most beautiful of flowers. And number two, I would say, it denotes the lack of trust in God. When we worry, we are telling to God, I don't trust you. I don't trust you to take care of me. Look at verse number 32. It says the Gentiles, the heathen, are worried about their basic needs because they don't trust in their God. But you know, our God has the ability and has a desire to take care of us. He knows our need even before we ask them. So we come to the third part now, that not only Jesus is rebuking us, he is repulsed by our worry. The third thing is that Jesus is providing us the remedy. He is providing us the remedy for our worry. Look to verse number 33. And this is what Jesus is saying. And I want every one of you to note this and think about it. Jesus says, he says, number one, keep your eyes on God's kingdom. Every day, make God's kingdom first in your life. He says, seek first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek Him first. When you do that, all these things will be added to us. Hallelujah. Keep your eyes on God's kingdom. In the morning when you wake up, don't run to your Facebook account and see how many new messages I've got. Run to the presence of God. Seek Him first. Ask Him, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Ask Him for directions and He will give you the directions for the day. Seek Him first. Focus on the things that matter to God. That is what it means, seeking God's kingdom first. What things will be added? All the earthly things that we normally worry, they will all be added to us. When you seek after God, like when I took employment in my company, I don't have to seek after the benefits. I get my salary, but all my benefits come to me. My 401k, my sick vacations, my holidays, they all are part of my being part of the employment. All these things God says, they are yours. You don't have to worry over them. All you need to do is seek God's kingdom first. Hallelujah. And number two, pay less attention to your future. Don't worry about a thing that has not happened in your life. Many times we waste our time worrying about fictitious things. In English, there's a proverb that says, don't cross your bridges until you come to them. Which means, it is pointless to worry about the future problems until you come to a place where you can actually do something about them. Remember, our future is in God's hands. So Jesus says, don't worry, in verse number 34, don't worry about tomorrow. Naale kurcha bhara padanda. Tomorrow is neither we have seen nor is in our control. There are two things that are outside our control. One, our past. There is nothing we can do about it. It's already happened. Number two, our future. We have not gone there. We don't know what our future holds. We don't know. All that we need to think about is today. The time that I'm alive, I do the things that matter to God. Hallelujah. Let me conclude here. Let me tell you, as God's children, we need to understand our Heavenly Father who is going to take care of our needs. God is making this covenant. I want you to hear this. This is a covenant that God wants to make with us. And many times we sit like this and we worry, oh God, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to me? We are always worried, but I'm telling you, God is making this covenant. If you put my interest first in your life, I will guarantee your future needs. If you seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, I will see that you never lack the necessities in your life. How many can say amen? This is God's social security for us. Better than US government social security that you can get. This is God's social security. He's going to take care of us. What is our responsibility? It's to live for God, trust Him in the future, with the confidence that He can provide us everything. We are called to live one day at a time, focusing on only what is in front of us. We need to simplify our lives, not worry of being overwhelmed with the demands of life, because worry can never accomplish anything positive for you. But you trust God to give you the wisdom, every situation to guide you forward. Let us give the control to God's hand. Let Him rule over us. have a right relationship with God and make Him the highest priority for our lives. Because when we worry, we are doubting the goodness of God. We are distracting from the true goals that God wants. God will meet us in all our needs. Let us aim to give us total stewardship to God, that He is in complete control, and seek to glorify God. Amen. This is the secret of living an abundant life free of worries. I want to close with a final illustration as we prepare our hearts to just come to the Lord. There was a great Baptist preacher by the name of Vance Hanwer. He was very fond of reading novels, you know, fictitious books. So but sometimes when he was reading in the middle of the novel, he started getting worried about what is going to happen to the hero. I mean, he looks like he's going to be in big problem. And so what happened, this is an illustration that he said. One day his curiosity got better of him. So he went to the back page of the book and he read the last chapter. And once he read the last chapter, he was at peace because he knew his hero is not going to be in trouble. His hero is going to come out victoriously in the end. And this preacher illustrated this for our own lives. Do you know that God has told us what is going to happen in our future? All you do is take your Bible, go to the last book of Revelation, and read what is going to happen. God is in control. He is the victor. Satan is going to be defeated. Satan is going to be in the bottomless pit for thousands and thousands of years. He is going to reward the righteous people. He is going to punish the wicked. He is going to make us accountable. This is what the Bible speaks to us. The last pages of the book describes our future. When our future is secure in God's hand, why do we worry? Because we know who is going to win in the end. So today I want to ask you, can you turn your eyes to Jesus? Cast your worry upon Him. Cast your worry upon Him. You know, in Matthew chapter 11 verse 28, this is what Jesus says. Come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Can we all just stand upon our feet as we are going to the Lord? Let God transform us with the renewing of our mind in our plans. I want us to all close our eyes and look at how God can transform me. Can you just pray to the Lord? Lord, can you transform me completely from inside? I don't want to worry anymore. You know, as I said before, what a friend we have in Jesus. We have a wonderful friend. We can, when we are in problem, when we have a need, we can bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, you take care of me. Because you said that you cast away our burden upon you. Can we just look to the Lord? Can we just look to the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we just lift up our hands, all of us? Can we just, this is an act of surrender. Can you surrender before God and say, Lord, I want to surrender myself before you. I want to give up totally, Lord, in your hands, Lord. Hallelujah. Everyone, lift up your hands. Both your hands, lift it up high. Lift it up unto the Lord. And say, Lord, I'm surrendering myself before you. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to be despaired. Because you are the one who is going to take care of me. Amen.